All right, it's Monday. Welcome to the ROI of Why, your number one podcast that focuses on all things impact and purpose as it relates to business. I am your co-host of the show, Andrew Tuzon, and today I am sitting with Miss Angie Kupchak.
Hello.
And Dustin, the sound guy.
Well, hello.
How are you, dude?
I'm fantastic.
Good. Thank you. And homie, how are you?
Doing wonderful.
Nice.
You know, just trying to stay warm in this cold, frigid weather.
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, we do this in a room that's like soundproof and has no windows, but the lighting's pretty decent. So right now the office is like nice and warm and cozy, but it just, I don't know why I just mentally went to like, it's so cold outside.
It is disgusting outside.
It's very cold.
It's very cold.
And then I remind myself these are my life choices, so I really shouldn't whine about them because it drives me nuts when people whine about their life choices. And I'm like, but I mean, that's a choice. So unless you're going to change it, can we complain too much?
And well, what if you've decided to change it, but you can't because of a timeline restriction, Angie, right? I can't leave until my kids go to college, but when they go to college and move into the beach.
I told my husband that we have to do a vacation, like that I can, that's in a warm spot that I can like plan to. And so granted, our vacation isn't until this summer, but I'm like, 5 months and then Costa Rica. So
we use our passports twice a year, and we made like that promise that that was going to be the thing. And so far,
I love
it's
just that.
Like, it's always to like super amazing tropical night, you know, ocean
warm.
Beach. So we did, you know, Cozumel, we did Hawaii. And Shay doesn't listen to this podcast, so it's fine. I'll tell you what I'm doing for Christmas, which was a couple weeks ago. I am taking us to Santorini.
Ooh, that's super exciting.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So
not like tropical, but still.
Still awesome.
Rad.
That's where like, so I hate cold.
Same.
So I kind of require one warm weather trip a year.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband hates heat. So then he gets one cold trip a year or like not to the heat. So usually in the summer, we try to go to like Colorado because then it's in the mountains, it's like 70 or 80. Yeah. And to me, I'm like, I need a jacket and my like sweaters. And he's like shorts, tank tops.
Babe, you still need this generator and this heated blanket right now?
Yeah, it's we're like polar. So it was like when we got married, his big gesture to me for our honeymoon was like, he's like, I booked us to go to a beach. And I was like, you do love me. Like
you're
going to sweat to death on the beach just to make me happy. And then in all ironies of life, it was 70 degrees and rainy and cold, like too cold to get into the pool on our honeymoon in Jamaica.
Oh, man.
So I was like, you did this on purpose. So yeah,
malicious gesture.
Yeah, gosh, you must have really been up with the big man upstairs to make it be the perfect tropical vacation for
him.
But yeah, you know,
yeah,
all the good things. So on the last episode, you said something that got my wheels spinning. Is that we are in the social media world, and you hate social media.
Sure.
I also kind of have this like love-hate relationship with it, and that I love the updates I see from my family, but I hate the addiction to it, right? But then I think about what we do every day as a business, and we're trying to help brands and businesses build their story and tell it well. And one of the best avenues for that is in social media.
For sure.
And so for those that maybe don't know, Andrew and I both have very deep backgrounds in the social media and digital marketing landscape. And so as we're helping kind of define what is impact, what is purpose, how do we connect, you know, customers to this? How do we make brands connect into this theory? Social media like is the place that you can best demonstrate this and test the waters to like tell that story without completely ruining any type of marketing or branding.
Right.
Because, you know, like with stories and those things, everything can disappear pretty quickly. So just kind of wanted to dive in on that topic on how brands should be leveraging social media to A, tell their stories, but also get people to fall in love with them. Right?
You ready to wrap this episode up?
Put a bow on it.
Okay. Stop trying to sell shit on social media. For real, though. So many companies, all they look at, I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've been in a room with a prospect or a client and we're talking about social media content. We're hired to build that for them. And they're like, well, you're not selling the nootropics, though. It's like, but
what?
People, okay, so let me hit you with this scenario real quick.
Wow.
I don't know if you remember the last time you purchased a car, and I don't know if you approached that super fun experience the way a lot of people I know do, But in the state of Nebraska, it is illegal to sell a car on a Sunday. And I know most people in my world, when they're about to enter the market for a new vehicle, they troll the lots on Sunday. Because
yes.
then you don't have some dude rapping on your window trying to get you into some whip where he can make the biggest clip, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
People do not like to be sold to anymore.
No.
As consumers, we hate it, right? We all want to feel like, and it kind of goes back to our search habits conversation we had in the last episode. We all like to feel like we made a decision. We did the research. We sifted through the exactly, right? It's that process of self-discovery that leads consumers to the moment of conversion, mm-hmm. whether or not that process is strategically like breadcrumbed.
Right.
Right? Like that's UI, UX. That's a separate conversation.
Stay tuned in 2 weeks mm-hmm. when.
But yeah, like we just do not like to be sold to.
Right.
And so why, if we know that, like I'm in these scenarios, I'm talking with business owners who are like amazing communicators, great at sales, have
super smart.
Yeah, super smart. And then they're like, no, just sell the shit.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's not, when you walk into a networking event for the first time, you've never met 90% of that room, are you just walking from person to person and be like, hey, I'm my man, this is my car, and you want to call me and you can do things? It's like, how many people are going to call you?
Right.
None.
Right. Yeah. Right? I think it's so funny because when we talk about vulnerability and being authentic and genuine, mm-hmm. that's what makes people fall in love with a company. And mm-hmm. that also is what helps tie a company to that purpose.
Right.
If it doesn't seem true to the ethos of your business, people are going to call shit shit.
Yeah.
And then not believe in this like mission that you've set out on.
Right.
And I think when you inject selling as the primary motivator into that conversation, it completely turns people off.
Right. Yeah, give me a reason to give a shit.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Value before the ask.
Right.
Right? Like, make me care. Make yeah. me want to, like, follow your brand.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
And I think you just touched on something really telling. And this is something I try to level set with clients pretty frequently. But that a lot of team members have to do, and I would say, depending on role and company, is probably a challenge a lot of people in business faces. Stating the expected outcome, mm-hmm. but then really stating the expected outcome. Mm-hmm. So I cannot tell you how many times I will connect with somebody and they'll want to do a paid media campaign.
Yeah.
And they'll say like, oh, I have $500, which
right.
to some people, that's a shit ton of money.
Right.
Yeah, $500. I get it. If you're a self-starter and it's not someone else's business and it's your wallet that we're opening up,
yep.
that's a lot of money to put on the table for a campaign. But you need to have the right expectations of what that's going
what's
to do. And I think when people engage in social media content development with the mindset mm-hmm. that, oh, I'm going to generate an ROI on this in 3 days, like that's kind of ludicrous. Mm-hmm. And I also think that same statement is true. Like I love Facebook ads. I think mm-hmm. Facebook ads are one of the most powerful advertising mediums we have because of the way we can target and segment.
Yeah.
But people still approach that as a general display ad.
Mm-hmm.
And also if your brand has never existed in that social channel and then all of a sudden you're popping up in my feed,
right.
it's like, whoa.
Well, I never,
Tracy's I don't even Tupperware. Understand this.
Right.
And so you need to also tell that story within the ads to get them to even want to see your ad again. And a really good example of this, and as I was prepping for this conversation, I was like, gosh, she's done it really well. And personal, my daughter, my oldest, and mm-hmm. my middle daughter play soccer.
Yeah.
And I played soccer most of my life.
Same.
So selfishly, I want them to freaking love the sport.
Right.
So we watch it at home. And so the season ended and they were both on the high of life of soccer. I'm their coach. And I'm like, gosh, how can I keep them like so in love with soccer? So because of my keyword things I've posted in my Facebook feed and different things. It's the dribble soccer ball. It's the yellow ball, mm-hmm. the QR code that then you can use the app to work on skill development. And the ads that showed up in my feed weren't just buy this ball. It was like, help your kids develop and train.
Mm-hmm.
Build the skill of your athletes. And I was like, oh man, this is, and I knew it was an ad. I'm in advertising. I see the promoted part on it, but I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And they didn't really sell you. And the call to action was learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So then that took me to the feed, that showed the video. And I was like, it's like $100 soccer ball. And literally you're buying a ball with a QR code with a fancy, not even a fancy stand, a mediocre stand that they upsell you on.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh man, that's so expensive. their retargeting of that ad, but the content that they kept serving me built my like intrigue for this product.
Yeah.
To where then they got it for Christmas.
Essentially, it comes down to what sounds like good storytelling.
So, and but to your point though, even doing that with the ads, right? So the marketers and the business owners were mindful enough to know that it takes about 14 impressions for someone to really start to, if they're engaging with your ads,
and those
clicking,
are conscious too, not subconscious, right?
To then connect in. Then they knew that they could get me to convert in, but they were willing to nurture that relationship. And people have forgotten that we have to do that with social media. Yeah. So.
And I'm not saying, just to clarify, stop selling altogether on social.
But
right, there's a time and a place.
Right.
Right. And it's not just, you know, shout it from the mountaintops forever, come buy my thing, come buy my thing, come buy my thing. And I will also say that, like, as a consumer, I really do enjoy Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that, you know, I'm doing research for a client in an industry that, like, I don't normally, you know, spend time researching online. And then I get served ads from those companies. That's like, well, okay. But, like, if I'm trying to find a new technology for, you know, music stuff or whatever, I actually really, really dig the fact that they can target me, because then I'm exposed to all these new things that I didn't even know existed. Right.
So, but when they're contextually correct in the moment, they know where you're at in your funnel. And so I think, for kind of going back to the intro point, I think this is a huge discussion that there's so many layers, because and we're right now specifically speaking Facebook. And I think there's a lot of other channels to explore on how to tell that purpose story. But I think,
what are you scheming?
I think I just created like 8 more podcasts for us to have to do on this topic alone.
I'm down.
Because I mean, I think there's like Instagram, right? You can't link an Instagram. So how to tell your story well there. Then now we have Facebook stories, Instagram stories, Snapchat, which is essentially stories.
Right.
How do you make all of those work on top of the more static type content and utilizing those to build your story and relationship with people and to how to move from just starting your conversation to really nurturing through to get people to become advocates for your brand. And it's not that overnight.
So you think like a little mini series kind of deal?
Yeah, I kind of think it's going to have to become a mini series.
Let's do it.
And maybe we can pull a couple guests on, maybe get a couple people who, if you feel like you know a brand that does social media storytelling extremely well, hit us up. But I think there's some good nuggets here on how we can really kind of build that story. So that way, when you go to launch your purpose statement, you not only have you hopefully pulled your internal team members along, but then as you go to start telling people and communicating it, you can't just be like, and all of a sudden we care.
Right.
You need to let people know that this has become a DNA part of your company. Yeah. So how do we tell that in a way that's actually going to captivate?
Genuine. Yeah. All right. So maybe we just kind of like button this one up.
Yeah.
We'll call this one like the setting the stage kind of deal.
Here we go.
It's like the trailer, right? Yeah. In a world where social media sucks.
Dustin.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, we need some epic like tippings and just all the things.
When a brand tries to sell too soon, destruction happens.
This summer, stop selling shit.
Oh.
Who's in that? Who stars in that? Who do you think it is?
I mean, you know who I think is the hero of social media is Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
Did you see him totally burn Peloton?
No.
So Peloton had the really awkward, the wife got gifted the bike for Christmas, the Peloton, and then she documents it and everyone's like, oh, she looked terrified. Well, Ryan Reynolds owns a gen company, Aviation Gen, and they put out great spots. Well, like the week, we talk about being responsive and also super jealous of his ad dollars, but the week the ad was like blowing up on like all the social channels, Ad Week, Ad Age, about being this like super disturbing ad, he hires the actress from the ad, the Peloton ad. They open scene where she's just sitting there kind of like staring off into space, contemplating life. And then she's surrounded by two girlfriends and they're like, it's going to be okay. She's like, this gen's really smooth. And it's the Peloton chick. And then they're like, you're in a safe space now. And she's like, here's the new changes.
Uh-huh.
But totally capitalized on the whole Peloton backlash. But he launched in social, you know, kind of organically put it out there.
Nice.
But when you're Ryan Reynolds with that platform, it's not really organically putting it out there.
Sure.
Whatever. But just it was like he's so good at actually capturing real-time moments and then doing it really well. Like Oreo did it forever ago with the Super Bowl when it was in the dark. And so, but they're authentically themselves when they're doing it.
Yeah.
And so it's just really, smart activation.
Yeah. Well, and it's stuff that like is if it's real.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, we'll call this one the trailer. And then we'll just kind of like start injecting these into the schedule. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be a lot of fun for
listeners.
Yeah. So let's do that.
Sweet.
We'll make sure that you guys smash that subscribe button so you do not miss when one of those episodes drops. Join us next Monday for another episode of the ROIFY. Until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.